Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
They say brand new buildings can't be haunted, that ghosts cling only to the past, to crumbling walls, forgotten cemeteries, and drafty Victorian halls. But sometimes they follow bloodlines, not bricks. And sometimes the newest walls conceal the oldest shadows. Tonight's letter comes from a listener named Isabel. What she describes didn't take place in some creaking colonial mansion, but in a modern penthouse apartment perched above a sleepy village that time barely touches. A home barely 2 years old, and yet something feels profoundly out of place. Appliances act on their own. Footsteps echo through empty halls. And dreams, if that's what they are, begin to blur the line between memory and premonition. What makes this story all the more unsettling is its quiet progression. Nothing overtly terrifying. Not at first. Just subtle disturbances that grow into something she can't ignore. A creeping awareness that maybe, just maybe, someone else is still there, watching, waiting, pacing down the hallway. So what happens when your safe place, the one meant to hold you between worlds of work and rest, becomes something else entirely? What if the very house meant to bring comfort instead whispers a warning every time the lights go out? Let's get to the letter. They write, "Hi, Tony. I don't know where else to send this. It might be nothing. It might be something. But either way, I need to say it out loud or write it somewhere someone will hear it. Because I'm starting to question what's real and what's not. Over the past year, I've been experiencing things I can't explain. Not just strange, but consistently strange. The kind of strange that returns. The kind that gets under your skin even when you try to rationalize it. Most of it happens at my grandparents' apartment. That's where I stay every weekend. The night before my early shift at the supermarket. It's only a 20-minute drive from their place, and they're always happy to have me. They live on the top floor of a new apartment complex, a penthouse technically, but the building only has two stories. It's clean, modern, quiet, the kind of place that shouldn't feel haunted, but there's an energy to it. I noticed it from the very beginning, though I didn't want to admit it. The building sits on what used to be a flat stretch of farmland, and just across the small river that cuts through the village is the old family home, my great-grandparents' house. That place has been empty since they passed. My great-grandmother died 3 years ago. My great-grandfather followed shortly after a long, painful decline into dementia. The first thing that got my attention was the TV. My grandparents had this sleek, smart TV mounted on the wall across from the sofa. Perfect view from the kitchen table. But it had a habit. It would turn on in the middle of the night with the volume down low. Just a soft glow flickering in the dark. At first, we blamed voice commands, thinking maybe one of us triggered it accidentally. But the technician came and turned that off entirely. Still, it kept happening. No pattern, no explanation, just on. Usually after midnight. Eventually, my grandparents got so frustrated that they replaced the TV altogether. I thought that was the end of it. But even before the new one arrived, I knew it wasn't the television that was the problem. The apartment seemed to want our attention. One morning, not long after the TV situation, I was sitting at the kitchen table. It was a Friday. I remember because the cleaning lady had come over like she always does on Fridays. She plugged the vacuum into the outlet near the living room, same outlet we used for the old TV. She didn't turn it on, just left it there while she went to pour herself a coffee in the kitchen. I was alone in the room with the vacuum. It was quiet, and then, without warning, it came to life. It startled me so badly I nearly dropped my tea. It wasn't just the sound, it was the way it roared into motion, like someone had yanked the switch in a hurry, but no one was near it. The cleaning lady was still in the kitchen, frozen, staring like she'd seen a ghost. My grandfather shuffled in and asked who turned it on, and none of us had an answer. We all laughed it off, sort of, but the laugh didn't last long. That same outlet, that same part of the apartment, I started sleeping more lightly after that. Not because I wanted to, but because something wouldn't let me rest. That's when I began noticing the footsteps. They were slow, deliberate. You know how you can tell the difference between someone rushing to the bathroom and someone who's lingering? That's what it was. Lingering. The hallway isn't long, just a short stretch from the bedrooms to the bathroom, with a small rug that muffles most steps. But these sounds were distinct, almost dragging, like heavy shoes on old floorboards, even though the apartment has carpet. At first, I thought it had to be my grandfather. He's not exactly light on his feet anymore, and sometimes he walks around at night if he can't sleep. But on at least two occasions, I heard those footsteps when I knew for a fact he was in bed. I peeked once. He was asleep. Still, the footsteps went on. 5 minutes. Maybe more. They moved up and down the hallway, pausing sometimes, like whoever or whatever it was couldn't decide where to go. That sound, that slow, rhythmic pacing, it made my chest tighten. Even now, just thinking about it, my shoulders tense up. It's hard to describe why. It's not the noise itself, it's the feeling it brings, like I'm being watched, judged. I never dared open the door when I heard them. I just lay there, pretending I didn't hear it, hoping it would pass. Eventually, I convinced myself it was my imagination. Or maybe sounds traveling from the neighboring units, but even that didn't hold up when the next thing started happening. It's the visions, Tony. Or rather, the moments where I think I see something, only to find nothing's there. It happens when I'm driving. I'll be going through the village and suddenly I'll see a figure crossing the road ahead, or the back end of a vehicle sliding into view. But when I blink and look again, nothing. Not a soul, not a tire mark, just empty road. The kind of road where you could hear a pin drop. It's always out of the corner of my eye and always so convincing that I hit the brake out of instinct. My heart pounding, wondering how I could be so easily fooled. It would be easy to say it's just tiredness. I work long hours, I stay up too late scrolling, but it's happened even on mornings when I feel fine. Clear, rested, and every time it happens, it feels less like an accident and more like a message. A sign I don't understand yet. I'm not sure if that makes any sense, but I've started dreading those weekend stays, not because of my grandparents, they're lovely, but because the apartment feels wrong. Not dangerous exactly, just off, like something wants to be seen, but never fully is. The more weekends I stayed, the harder it became to sleep, and I used to be able to fall asleep anywhere. I could doze off on a bus, a break room bench, even a cold couch, but lately, especially at my grandparents' place, sleep just escapes me. I'll lie there for hours, eyes closed, but thoughts racing. When I do finally fall asleep, it's only for short stretches. An hour here, half an hour there, and when I wake, I don't feel rested. I feel drained. Like I never actually let go. It's the same every time. Restless nights that feel half wakeful, my body heavy, my mind floating. And sometimes I swear I'm awake the whole time, fully conscious, but paralyzed. Like something's holding me under just enough to keep me from surfacing. Then the dreams started. At first I brushed them off. Dreams are just dreams, right? But these are different. More vivid, more tactile. I feel everything in them. The coldness of metal, the grit of dirt under my fingernails, the breath on the back of my neck. And they're not always nightmares, but they always leave me rattled. The worst ones are when I dream of the old house, my great-grandparents' home across the river. In one dream, I'm walking through the hallway and the wallpaper is peeling. There's a ticking clock, but I can't find it. The light is dim, like dusk filtered through dirty glass. I turn a corner and see the living room empty, but I hear someone behind me whisper my name. I spin around. No one's there. I always wake from those dreams gasping, covered in sweat. But the worst part, I've had dreams like this come true before. I've dreamt of conversations or moments that later happened exactly as I saw them. And that makes me fear these dreams are more than just symbols. What if they're warnings? I tried telling myself it was stress. Work's been chaotic. My hours keep shifting. But the feeling of being watched has only grown stronger, especially in that apartment. It's like there's something just behind me. Just behind the door. Just beyond the hallway light. One Saturday afternoon, I decided to walk to the river. I hadn't visited the old house since the funeral. The trail was overgrown, the river slow and quiet, its surface glassy and cold. I crossed the little wooden bridge and made my way up the hill. The house looked smaller than I remembered, shrunken, forgotten. The windows were boarded, the steps warped. But the door was slightly open, and I didn't go inside, and something stopped me. Not fear, exactly, but a pressure. A presence. Like someone on the other side of the door was waiting, not to harm me, just waiting. I turned around and walked away, but I swear I felt eyes on my back the whole way home. That night, the TV turned on again. Only this time, it didn't go to Netflix or the home screen. It went straight to static. The screen was white noise, loud and flickering. I got up to turn it off and noticed the time, 3:12 a.m., I remember it because I felt cold the second I saw it. I reached for the remote on the coffee table. That's when I heard it. A whisper. Right behind me, just one word, my name. I turned so fast I nearly lost my balance, but there was no one there. Just the hallway and the hum of the static. I didn't sleep for the rest of the night. I sat in bed, wide-eyed, waiting for the sun to rise. When my grandmother asked if I was okay the next morning, I told her I was just tired. I didn't tell her about the whisper, or the door at the old house, or the way the dreams seemed to echo things I hadn't lived yet. I guess that's why I'm writing to you, because I need someone to hear this, to help me make sense of it. I'm scared, but not in a way I can explain, not like being afraid of someone breaking in. It's deeper than that. It's the fear that something invisible has noticed you, and now that it has, it won't stop watching. Tony, I don't think I'm imagining this. I don't think it's stress or lack of sleep or burnout. There are too many pieces, too many strange, small things that add up to something bigger. I can't see the whole shape yet, but it's there. Do you think it could be my great-grandfather? Still confused, maybe, after his passing, or my great-grandmother trying to get a message through? Or maybe it's not them at all. Maybe it's something that's been there long before any of us. All I know is this. Whatever's happening, it didn't stay in the old house. It came with us. Thanks for reading this and keep up the great work. Isabel. Isabel's story leaves us with more questions than answers, just the way these things often do. What's most striking isn't the intensity of any one incident, but the slow accumulation of small, unshakable events. A smart TV flickering to life in the dead of night. A vacuum turning itself on with no one nearby. Footsteps where no one should be. This isn't a case of classic poltergeist chaos. This is something subtler, something quieter, something patient. From a psychological perspective, we could look at sleep disturbances, the impact of grief, even mild hallucinations triggered by stress or a disrupted circadian rhythm. Hypnagogic imagery, the kind you experience in the fuzzy transition between waking and sleeping, could explain those peripheral visions and the recurring dreams. Perhaps the mind's attempt to process unresolved emotions, especially when the great-grandfather's death followed years of watching him fade. But here's the catch. Isabel isn't staying in an old house riddled with creaky floorboards and family antiques. She's in a brand new apartment built atop what used to be farmland. A blank slate, or so it should have been. Yet something clings. The hallway, the outlet, the hour, 3:12 a.m. Things are happening that mimic consciousness, awareness, and more importantly, intent. Could it be residual energy from the old home carried in by furniture or belongings, or something tethered to her bloodline, echoes from a life unfinished? Some paranormal investigators believe spirits can anchor themselves to people, not places. If so, maybe this presence didn't haunt the apartment. Maybe it followed her into it. And then there's the house across the river, unvisited, unloved, and still watching. Doors don't open themselves. Static doesn't whisper names unless, of course, something wants to be heard. We like to think we leave the past behind when we move into something new. But sometimes the past finds its way in through the cracks, through the dreams, through the silence. And when it does, the real question isn't whether you believe in ghosts. The question is, do they believe in you?
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.